Thank you for joining What is the Move, presented by the Illinois Human Performance Project. My name is Nick Taylor. I'm here with a friend of mine. Her name is Bailey Yannikakos. How are you doing today, Bailey?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. It's winter, so it's cold, which makes me a little unhappy, but you know, eventually that means it will get warmer. So staying positive.
You're still wearing basketball shorts though today, so it must not be bothering you too much.
Our listeners will understand why at the end of this episode. But Bailey, just kind of talk to us about your schooling, your career, your upbringing, what got you into what you're doing today.
Sure. So I'm a registered dietitian, and I'm also a certified specialist in sports dietetics. So I've been in this career field now for about 3.5-4 years. And I really love it because it gives me the opportunity not only to focus on nutrition, but to specifically target my nutrition counseling to athletes. And originally I wanted to go into this field because I was an athlete myself. And I learned throughout my high school and collegiate experiences just how important food is for fuel. And so it was an interest of mine that eventually I hoped to turn into a career. And that's exactly what I did.
So what would you say the biggest difference between a nutritionist and a dietitian? Because I feel like the general public only knows what a nutritionist is and maybe not what the difference is between the two.
Sure. Yep, that's a good question. A lot of people ask me that one myself. In general, anyone can be a nutritionist. It's not a legally protected term. There's no schooling or certification involved. And so really anyone can claim that title. However, if you are a dietitian, it means that you've gone through the schooling and the testing to make sure that you are credentialed for that profession. And so a few of the specifics, to be a dietitian, you have to go to an accredited 4-year institution. You have to do at least 1200 hours of supervised practice. And then you also have to take the national exam. And then in Illinois, you actually have to be licensed in the state as well. So there are a lot more checks and balances just to make sure that the information you're giving out is evidence-based, that it's current, and that it's accurate for your client base.
Did you say where you went to the school earlier?
I didn't, no. So I did my undergraduate degree at Viterbo University in Wisconsin, and then I did a master's program through Concordia Chicago. And so the undergraduate, that's the nutrition degree, and then my master's is in applied exercise science.
That's a lot of school. I'm going to go ahead and declare really myself is. A nutritionist now that I can do that.
Congratulations.
It's a big day for me. You know, I was waiting for this moment.
Nick discovered he was a nutritionist.
Huge. I'm sure this comes across a lot, and there's plenty of times where you just kind of roll your eyes back and you sigh a little bit. But what would you say is the most common misconception about nutrition?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think at least a common misconception I see with a lot of my clients is that many people are under the impression nutrition has to be really complicated and that you have to spend a ton of time meal prepping or picking out the perfect supplement. And I don't necessarily agree with that philosophy. I think it can be quite simple and your simple techniques or simple strategies can be very effective. And so I suppose, for instance, typically I'm not prescribing highly detailed meal plans for clients. I find that typically people don't follow them anyways. And so instead, if we can set more broad, long-term goals, that tends to be a more effective strategy for a lot of people.
For your clients, are you having a kind of backbone of what you're trying to prescribe to them, or is it really based off of who that person is, what they may be doing activity level wise, if they're not doing any activity levels, and obviously if they have any dietary concerns?
Yeah, it does tend to be highly specialized in that sense. So we need to take into account someone's age, activity level, even budget that they may have allotted for food. And so it is important to make sure we're gathering all those specific details.
I feel like you said budget. I feel like that's such a thing that like just goes unnoticed is like if you want to, or maybe even over emphasize, but if you want to eat healthy, you have to spend money, which I assume is probably not the case if you can do it to an extent without having to go to the bank every week.
Right. I mean, it certainly helps. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, I was a broke college kid myself. In fact, there were many times throughout my collegiate career, I was eating out of a food pantry to like supplement some of my diet. And so you can still do it and not have a ton of financial resources. You just have to be a lot more strategic.
Yeah. You've said this word a couple of times, supplement. What are your, just, I know you could go on for probably days and there's plenty of supplements people can take, but you're just like quick synopsis of what that word means and how it should be implemented into your daily diet.
Sure. Yeah. Supplements really could deserve an entire episode on their own, I think. But supplements, I guess I could start with supplements that I like, supplements that I would often prescribe, I guess, or recommend. A big one that comes to mind is fish oil, which sounds really nasty. You're giving me a face right now.
No, I take it. A lot of people I know take it in the morning first thing.
Yep. Yeah. And it's one of those things. So for the omega-3 fatty acids, at least in the American diet, especially if you're landlocked here in the Midwest, we're not eating as many fatty fish as we should. We're not getting those healthy omega-3 fatty acids. And so a supplement can be a great way to optimize health, knowing it's a big challenge to get it through the diet. So that's one that I often recommend. I take it myself. Another big one. Now I do, you have to kind of recommend some lab testing here. So keep that in mind. It may not be for everyone, but a lot of people are running around insufficient or truly deficient in vitamin D. So that's a fat soluble vitamin. You're going to synthesize it from the sun, but you're also going to get it through some food sources. But a lot of people have lower levels than what is recommended. So vitamin D supplement can be really helpful for many people as well.
Yeah, that's probably a misconception. Just go outside and you'll get it, right?
Right. Which in theory would work if you lived in Florida, but yeah. We don't.
We're stuck in good old Illinois where it's nice and chilly.
Yes.
It's too bad.
But those are a couple. I think you had a few other questions kind of wrapped up into the supplements there.
Yeah, I think you got it. You made me think of every morning I do, I'm sure you've seen it, the greens that you just pour in like a thing of water.
Mm-hmm.
Worth it, not worth it? Kind of just like a big hype thing?
Yeah, I want to say more along the lines of hype. Not that I think it's necessarily harmful, but I think you would get just as many, if not more, benefits if you simply blended up fresh greens into a smoothie or into a juice of some type. And it would probably be more budget friendly. So I'm not going to say it's harmful, but I think there are probably more efficient ways to get those same nutrients.
It's too bad. I thought I was, going to become some Popeye guy here soon.
Hate to burst your bubble, but I do have a good recipe for how to do that. So I'll have to send it your way.
Yes, please do. We can hopefully share it on our social media pages.
Oh yeah.
When it comes to eating healthy, what is like a quick tip? Just that everyone, you wake up, have this in the back of your mind. That can help you kind of plan your meals or play around that.
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot to choose from. But one that comes to mind, I guess off the top of my head, I think it's really important to get meal timing down because the timing and when you eat is just as important as what you eat in my book. And so I love to recommend making sure that you're starting off the day with a really solid breakfast. Don't run off to class, practice, your job, whatever it may be if you're skipping that meal. It's basically setting the whole day up for an unhealthy pattern of some type. And so if you can really kick off the day with a good breakfast, that's great. And then most of us, especially if you're a high school student, you should be looking to eat every 3 to 4 hours. And so if you can, to some extent, plan out when you're going to have your meals and snacks and make sure that you take those with you and have them on hand, really, you're going to be so much better off. You're going to meet your calorie needs. You're going to help support whatever training you might be doing. It's also going to help keep you mentally sharp and focused. So 3 great things most of us need in our day.
Do you eat the same breakfast every morning?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
I get tired of food really quickly. I call it food fatigue. So I change it up every day. But I do have a couple staples that I like to go to.
Let's hear them.
I'm a big fan of overnight oats.
That is just the trend right now. Overnight
oats
is the trend.
But it's also easy. You can make them in bulk. Easy. They'll last like 2 or 3 days in the fridge,
Yeah. Which
is nice. And you can change the flavor profile. Like sometimes I like the chocolate peanut butter version, but other times I like blueberries and honey. Like you can make it, I guess, to really suit your taste preference. But I like that. I like to do Greek yogurt parfaits. So yogurt, granola, berries. And then the other one, if I have a little more time, I like to do scrambled eggs and bagels. Because who doesn't love that?
That's a good combo.
That's more of a weekend treat, really. But I kind of rotate between those 3 options.
I know this is a common thing nowadays, but just the idea or possibly overemphasis on counting calories. What are your thoughts towards that, especially towards high school athletes or just students in general?
Yeah, good question. I guess a couple thoughts on that. I think it is great to have a general ballpark and know where you fall calorically. For example, if you're somebody who is super active, you may have your predicted needs anywhere between 2,800 and 3,000 calories. Like that wouldn't be uncommon for a lot of high school athletes. So I think it can be helpful to know that so you can shoot for that range. However, the day in and day out counting of every single calorie, I think that can really be harmful for somebody because at that point you're focusing so much on the numbers. It's easy for it to become a bit of an obsession for some people. And at the end of the day, your calorie needs are going to change. And so we need to be willing to be flexible. And I'm kind of blanking on what I want to say.
No, for
right
sure.
There,
I used to be part of that train that counted calories. And then I realized like I was just like over, I mean, just sitting there and I like thought I couldn't enjoy a meal without putting it in my phone.
Right.
Seeing what it came out to in the macros. And then it becomes an issue. You know, you're not thinking more other than that number.
Right. Yeah. Good for knowing that you don't want to underfuel or overfuel in some instances, but does it need to be counted every meal and snack? No, absolutely not.
Yeah. What is a constant challenge you face in your career right now?
Well, there are a lot of fad diets that,
give me an example of a fad diet.
I would consider like the ketogenic diet a fad diet.
You were gonna say keto.
It's because I get a lot of questions on it and there's a lot of hype around it. And I can see why, like a fad diet by definition is something that promises dramatic results in a short window of time.
Yeah.
And that's attractive to people. And I understand that highly motivated people want to move quickly and see results.
Yep.
The problem with that is a lot of times it's not an appropriate diet for like a high school aged individual, most athletes. There are a lot of people where that simply would not be the best recommendation. And so I think trying to educate and just provide resources that are more appropriate, that's always a challenge because fad diets are attractive for a reason. So
yeah, it's you know, the common saying, Rome wasn't built in a day. So
right.
Don't expect to just kind of turn your nutrition around in a couple of weeks doing a keto diet.
Yeah. Well, actually, that makes me think, I guess a question for you. You work with high school athletes and high school students pretty closely. Do you see other fad diets or trendy diets popping up that you get questions on?
I don't see like the keto, for example, we don't really run into that. I think referring back to the calories, I think that's just kind of, I know it's not a diet per se, but I think it's really been hammered in to young people is that you should be like counting every macro throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And like we talked about, at some point that really does more harm than good. But no specific diets that really blow me out of my seat, you know, or I'm like, what's going on here?
Gotcha. Yeah, that I think that will always be a challenge. If you work in the nutrition field, you're going to see that. And every year it's something new. Like I remember maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, the movie The Game Changers came out on Netflix. Are you familiar with that one?
I don't think so.
Okay, quick synopsis. It was basically a movie that talked about how athletes should consider being vegan or vegetarian.
Oh, wait, I did watch
and it was
this.
All about plant-based nutrition.
Yes,
and they referenced a lot of high-profile athletes and whatnot. And so I remember distinctly that week, I worked at Indiana University at the time. I had like 8 to 10 athletes sign up for an appointment where they specifically wanted to discuss going vegan or vegetarian. And I think that's a perfect example of something that gets really hot for a moment,
yeah.
But there's a lot of evidence lacking in, again, if it's an appropriate recommendation. And so, yeah, the challenge will always be there. It's just, it's going to change. It's going to look different.
Yeah, it's always gonna be moving. What is? I know you mentioned oatmeal, your Greek parfait, and your egg and cheese bagel. Or no cheese? You didn't say cheese. Egg bagel,
mm-hmm.
Egg bagel. What other are some staples in your diet? And then it kind of sounds like you changed your diet on the weekend with that bagel and egg sandwich. Does it matter what you're doing, or you try to go 5 days? You're pretty aware of what you're intaking, and then maybe on the weekends you let it loose a little bit.
Yeah. So some staples, we can start there, but some staples that I would normally have in my diet, I tend to move around quite a bit for work, whether I'm going to a specific location and whatnot, but I always pack a lunch that's really easy to transport. So like I am a sandwich person. I almost always pack a sandwich.
Such an underrated food.
I know, it really is. And like I said, nutrition doesn't have to be terribly complicated, but I love to do a turkey and cheese sandwich, and I will usually put either tomatoes or spinach or both on there. And then I'll typically pack like a baked chip. I love the Sun Chips or just the Lay's baked. And then I'm always including a fruit or a vegetable. That's one of my guidelines I give my athletes. I feel obligated to follow it myself. But that's always pretty filling. And again, it's really easy to transport. But then at dinner, I usually do something that takes a little bit more time. But I do like having leftovers. So I'm a big fan of like all your one pot, one dish meals. Man. So I love a good like lean ground beef chili. I love a good stir fry.
They sound great, but I'm out on leftovers.
Really?
It's just got to be there that night.
I thought we were friends.
Only if I'm like, you know, if you mentioned meal prepping earlier. If I'm meal prepping, then obviously I'm assuming I'm going to have leftovers throughout the week. And then it's kind of a different story. But if you make chili one night and I don't think I'll have it the next day, if that's really? That's how it works.
I can usually have it about three times and that's when I'm done with it.
And you draw the line, can't have it anymore.
Yep.
What is one thing you now know as a professional or just, you know, as an adult that you wish you knew growing up?
You know, I think it kind of goes back to our like brief discussion on like energy needs and calories. Cause growing up, I mean, I was a nutrition student, especially in college when I was playing basketball. And I was under the impression that I needed to eat less and eat a ton of fruits and vegetables because I was trying to be healthy. And obviously my intentions were really good, but what ended up happening is I kind of developed what we call red S, relative energy deficiency in sport. And it's not like a full blown female athlete triad scenario, but what happens is you start to suffer from like excessive fatigue, drowsiness, your athletic performance starts to suffer. It's hard to recover from like injuries and whatnot. And there are a plethora of other symptoms, but I started to develop that. And bottom line was I simply wasn't eating enough calories to support how much I was burning through basketball practice, through lifting, through extra conditioning. And I should have been aware of that, but it wasn't something that was really taught, at least at that time. So that's something I wish I had known. I make a big point of it now with all my athletes, but you need to make sure you eat enough to support your activity.
Yeah, for sure. That makes me think of a story. When I tried out for our varsity basketball team, notorious for the coach, like loving the run. Like that was just what he was. Tryouts, I think I had an apple the whole day because I was like, I don't want to be too full for this, all this running we're going to do this afternoon.
Yep.
We're halfway through it and I'm like ready to pass out just faint because there's nothing in my body, like you said, and like would have thought eating more would actually probably been better.
Right. Lot can play into that scenario too. Like if you're someone who has a nervous stomach and you find it hard to eat beforehand, it's easy to just completely skip a pregame meal and a pregame snack. But obviously when you hit that second half or fourth quarter, there's going to start to be some serious implications for that. And especially if you start talking about a tournament, like, oh my goodness, you're going to be in trouble. And so I wish I had known that. And I wish I had someone to provide some education on what I should be doing at that time.
Yeah. So putting you on the spot here.
Oh boy.
Unfortunately, this is the last meal you're ever going to eat.
Oh no.
Don't know why. Don't know what the circumstances are, but this is the last meal you're going to be able to eat. You got to have one entree.
Okay.
Two sides and a dessert. What are we going with?
Okay. Oh, that's a hard question.
It's a tough one. Yep.
How can you ask a dietitian to pick their favorite last meal?
Well, that's what the crowd wants to know.
All right.
Everybody in their cars at home right now is dying to know.
I'm completely going to out myself right now, but I absolutely adore deep dish pizza. Like, adore it.
Okay, we are in the Chicago area.
Yes.
Which is your favorite? We'll get back to that.
I think as a whole, I like Giordano's best. I do like Lou's, though.
What are we doing here, guys? Have you had Pequod's?
No.
You got to go Pequod's. It's downtown.
Never tried it.
It's amazing. Okay, so you're going to go
Until
deep
then,
dish?
I love Giordano's deep dish pizza. I'd probably just want that, honestly.
So you'd want, okay, one slice, just cheese?
Oh, no. You got to have sausage, green pepper, mushroom, and onion.
Okay. It's almost like a supreme action.
Pretty much.
No sides. You're just skipping the sides.
Nope, I just want the pizza, okay. And then I will take dessert, chocolate peanut butter ice cream.
Chocolate peanut butter ice cream.
Ice cream is my all-time favorite dessert, and you really can't go wrong with chocolate and peanut butter.
Are you a big Reese's fan then?
I am. Yeah they're pretty good.
Go-to in the Halloween season?
Mm-hmm. I like to steal them out of the bag before I put the bag out for the kids.
Yeah, it's too bad. Kids can't enjoy the Reese's.
Nope, so they're mine.
To wrap us up today, Bailey, there's some talk going around the country. I mean, people are really tuning in that you have an alumni basketball game this upcoming winter and that this evening or afternoon you're going to play horse against me. What is your predictions of not only the horse game, but also your alumni game? Are we going for 35-5? What's the plan here?
Well, I think for our game of horse this afternoon, I predict you're going to lose the first one and insist on going best 2 out of 3, in which I'll proceed to beat you again.
Oh, wow.
Yes, we're going big. As for the alumni game, oh my Lord, we're playing full court. And so I think what's going to get me is the cardio.
Yeah, nothing about the actual basketball, just the running up and down.
Yep, because I'm really good at running in a straight line slowly. But you start throwing sprints in there and... It doesn't work how it used to.
We're gonna be expecting Bailey to cherry pick at the alumni game, just hanging out in the paint.
Yes, and trying not to get blocked, because for those of you I haven't met yet, I'm about 5'3 on a good day. So we got to move quickly.
She's got the bunnies, though.
Yes. So the jury's still out on how the alumni game is going to go, but we're definitely going to go for it.
That's good. Feeling confident about this afternoon. It's good to hear. Well, Bailey, thank you again for being a part of this. And for those of you that know, she will be speaking in upcoming events through the Illinois Human Performance Project. So if you're ever interested, visit ILHPP.org so you can learn a little bit more about us and also Bailey.
Yep.
Thank you, Bailey.
Thanks for having me.